appreciate that. When I was young, my sister and I used to watch the game show Let's Make a Deal. Remember that with Monty Hall? Right. And he was a great host, a lot of fun. My sister and I watched. The most entertaining thing about that game was the extent that people would go to get his attention. If you remember, they would dress up in all sorts of outfits, costumes, and he would pick somebody to bring him down. And then everybody would, all the people in the audience would come dressed up in different outfits. I mean, just zany outfits, crazy stuff. And when they would get the attention of Monty Hall, he'd bring him down, he'd ask him some questions, and they'd try to get a big deal. And either they would get a great prize, like a new car or a new kitchen or cash, or they would get what was called zonked, which means they would get like a mule or, a toy car instead of a real car. The premise of the show, as in with lots of game shows, I guess, is that human beings, we all have an insatiable desire to acquire stuff. True? We'll seek to find new ways, better deals, just to fill our desire for more things. Game shows can be fun entertainment, but the reality is the desire to get more stuff for the sake of having more stuff is what Jesus calls covetousness in our gospel reading today, when he says, "Be on your guard against all covetousness." Other translations call it greed, desire for more stuff. Literally, the word covetousness is to want more, even if it belongs to others. The root of it is to want more for the sake of having it, abundantly beyond what you might need. It's a desire to acquire things so that you could feel more significant or more secure, have more pleasure or more fun in life. Jesus gives us a warning in the gospel today about our human tendency to savor and to seek more stuff of this world. But he also gives us a solution to this dilemma or desire we have. He warns us about a trap that's set for each one of us in life. And like a good guide on a hike, he helps us as we follow him and trust him, avoid those pitfalls and find safe passage home with him. He has the map and he knows how to guide us well. And that's why he would give us a warning like today, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Take care and be on your guard. When Jesus says, be careful, it's for our benefit that he says that, because covetousness comes in all kinds of wrappings and packages. He tells us to be alert, to watch our step, because this is a matter of our heart, of our soul, of the seat and source of our desire and passion. And the condition of our heart's desires is where Jesus usually focused the attention of his conversations and teachings. On one occasion, some religious leaders confronted Jesus because Jesus' disciples did not do the proper ceremonies that were part of the religious traditions of the day. So the religious leaders came to Jesus and confronted him. In this case, it was about proper ceremonial washings. Jesus responded by saying this from Mark chapter 7, "For from within, out of the heart of man or woman, can come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." Coveting is listed right there with murder, theft, and adultery. We'd all say, yeah, murder's wrong, and thievery and stealing is wrong, and adultery is wrong, but coveting, well, I don't know. It's just maybe just an attitude adjustment I need. When Jesus here lists it as a sin that flows from the heart and can defile us. See, our hearts are the source of our allegiances and our alliances in life. Who we ally our energy and our resources with come from our heart. We commit ourselves to causes and movements from our heart's desires. In our hearts, we choose how to spend our money and our time. So Jesus is saying that coveting is a sign when you are feeling a sense of, I want more stuff to fulfill myself alone. That can be a sign that we're living for a different king than the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're actually worshiping a different God. And that's expressed in this morning's epistle from Colossians 3, verse 5, where Paul writes, Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So coveting is a spiritual issue. It amounts to idol worship. That's a little bit more than mixed motives, according to the scriptures here. We're talking about a kingdom of God lifestyle and life decisions. It's interesting, later in the same chapter that our gospel reading is found in today, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and our heart loyalties. He says this in Luke 12, beginning at verse 32. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We need to be alert, Jesus is saying. What we treasure will shape our heart's attitude. What we want will shape our decisions that flow from our heart as to how to spend our time and our money. Seems the real condition, therefore, is our heart's condition, not the condition of our bank accounts or our investments, according to Jesus here. And that's why he says one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We are fools, Jesus is saying, if we rely on the abundance of our possessions for our security, rather than relying on God himself. And the parable that Jesus tells, as familiar as it may be, warns us about this foolishness. We all can rely on the abundance of possessions. In fact, in our world, we're taught to fear the lack of possessions, to save and invest, so to have an abundance. And practically, there's good reason for that. Lack or loss doesn't provide for your family. We need positive account balances to provide food and shelter. But here, in the matter of possessions, a trap is laid for us. Jesus is warning us for our hearts. We can easily rely on the abundance of possessions first and foremost. We can choose to see wealth and possessions as the key to our security and happiness, rather than God himself first. We can therefore covet and want more in order to be happier or be more comfortable. We can even lean on the good things that God himself gives us. We can make them the source of our identity and security rather than our relationship with God. That may be the reason why in the Ten Commandments, which is also called the Ten Words, the final word that God gives us is simply, "Thou shalt not covet." God has the final word over our stuff as we follow him, what we do with our time and possessions, for he is our King and our Lord. So that's why Jesus says, take care, be alert. There's a trap set for you, for your heart. But he also gives us a solution in his final comments when he says in verse 21 of our gospel reading, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He says we can be like the one who lays up treasure for himself, or we can be rich towards God. Now, to be rich and to be wealthy is to have an abundance of possessions, to have more than what you need of the things that matter in our life. To be rich is to have more than enough of the things that matter to the world or to our culture. What matters in our culture? Oh, money, right? Possessions, cars, houses, investments. Those things matter in our world. In our culture, they matter. Other cultures, other possessions matter. But for us, that's how we measure wealth and being rich. If you had 1,000,000 plastic marbles, would that make you rich in the eyes of our culture? Nope. It would make you a little eccentric, perhaps. You have 1,000,000 plastic marbles? Yeah, I just am so rich in the marble market. It's amazing. But in our culture, that means nothing. So what does it mean to be rich towards God? To be rich towards God is to have an overflow and an abundance of those things that matter to God. To be rich in God's eyes is to have an abundance of the things that matter to God. What matters to God? Well, I say first is that we trust in him and lean on him alone. We began our worship this morning by reading a portion of Psalm 107, and that entire psalm is anecdotes of people who returned to relying on God, many of whom after leaving a reliance and a trust in God, and they returned to God, and God had mercy on them. Whoever is wise, this psalm ends up, let him attend to these things, let him consider or think about or dwell on the steadfast love, the unending covenant care of the Lord. Being rich towards God is to be relying on him and his care first, overflowing in rest in God first and foremost, depending and seeking him and his steadfast love. So the things we need to avoid in life, therefore, is a lack of reliance on God. A loss of trust or belief in God is a loss we want to avoid first and foremost in our lives. A lack of peace in knowing God and having an assurance he will provide can be an alert that we have a deficit account of trust in him when we have fear that he won't provide. To be rich towards God means to look to him first and always, knowing that we're safe in his hands. Jim's passage from Isaiah is a great reminder that he will never leave us, that he holds us, overshadows us. That's why Paul writes it to the Colossians in today's reading, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died in Christ, he means, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If our lives are hidden or secure in God, then we can be free to set our minds on the things that matter to God. We can know his presence today through Christ. We can experience the abundance of his love and his power in our lives today. With the knowledge and the assurance that we are hidden with him, our life is in him. Therefore, we can focus on him. But to be rich in God means to set our goals on God and his kingdom, therefore. To set our goals and our purposes on him. I mean, Colossians 3:11, our reading from the epistle winds up saying, Christ is all and in all. In our season in life here in our country of bumper stickers, that would be a good bumper sticker to make. Christ is all and in all. He is my all and all, as the song goes. All we have is from him. He's given us. All we are, he wants to fill and shape and renew. So I want to offer a couple examples of how we can be rich towards God practically in our life. As we learn to rest in him and trust him, what are some practical ways we can grow in an abundance of the things that matter to God? First, pray for others. Many of you have free time. You might be retired or whatever your life circumstance is. Why has God given you a surplus of free time? How are we filling in? Anybody in this room, whether with a family or busy in life, we have our free time, unlike other cultures that from the rising of the sun to after the setting, people are busy. But in our culture, we have free time. How are we using our free time? One way of being abundant in the things that matter to God, to be rich towards God, is to gather a prayer list and pray for others. Be an intercessor. Visit those who can't get out. Have a prayer visit. A 15-minute drop-by to check on a friend and then to pray for them or to find out from them how you can be praying for them. A phone call to somebody. One of the early discipleship methods that Carol has used in her life with her friends is to encourage new disciples to call friends up and pray over the phone. And we remember one of her first experiences with this where this new disciple said, you can pray over the phone? I said, yes, you can pray over the phone. And she had to practice. So what matters to God is that we pray for one another individually. Secondly, what matters to God is that we pass our faith along to others. That we pass our faith along. For all of us, as Christ followers, we have the privilege of being the ones that Jesus calls to pass our faith unto others. We each are sent by Jesus to make disciples. To make disciples is not just for the trained or the ordained. It's for all of us. We each are sent into the world to go and make disciples of all people. The question isn't whether that's one thing that Jesus would like, that matters to God. That matters to God that we make disciples. The question isn't whether we should be involved with this. The question for each of us individually is how we are called to do it in our own lives. in the neighborhood, at the office, at school? How are we called to reach out and make disciples? If you're parents of young children or youth, and you hear about, you hear what I'm saying about things that matter to God, taking time to pray and making disciples, you're like, Rick, you don't understand. We barely fall into bed at night after a long day at work and raising kids. Word of encouragement for parents of young kids and youth, though, you have an abundance of abilities already with your children to make disciples. You have the ability, especially before they know how to read to them the scriptures aloud. You have the ability to turn on a worship CD and sing along with it and teach them how to worship the Lord in song, share scripture in word and song. You can drive them to a neighbor's house and help provide food for a situation. And they'll watch you make food and give it away to somebody in need. That's disciple making. You can take them to vacation by serving opportunities and serve others in the community. In this way, you're making disciples of your children. You are the chief disciplers of your family. Third answer to the question of what matters to God, what matters to God as we pray for one another. Aren't these basic points? But we have to bring ourselves back to the basics from time to time. At least I felt led this morning to do that. Pray for others, to pass along our faith to others. But thirdly, what really matters to God is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. That you just don't know about him in your brain, but in your heart, you have a personal relationship with Christ. So I want to ask, what is holding you back from trusting him today more than you might have yesterday? What is holding you back from giving him your whole life, every aspect of your life, your passions, your past, and rolling that onto his shoulders? The most important thing that matters to God is our personal relationship with him. To be rich towards God is to grow in knowing him, living in his presence and power day to day. That's why Paul prays this in Ephesians. He says that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. And he means that today. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, that we can begin to experience the first fruits of that today. To be rich towards God and knowing his power, his presence, the inheritance of his mercies. So how is your relationship with God? That is the most important thing to God, to be rich towards. Are you bringing him your concerns and your hopes? Jesus may be knocking on your door of your heart this morning, or at least a part of your heart. Picture the heart as a house, and you open the front door, and there's the foyer, and there's the living room, and you may have Jesus living in the living room, but are you allowing him in your office and your kitchen? In your sleeping area? Are you giving him your complete access to all of the rooms of the heart inside? He's knocking on your door. So what is he saying to you today about how he wants to have a relationship with you? Because that really is the most important thing. So Jesus warned us, be alert of covetousness that can creep into our heart. And the response or a solution would be to be rich towards God. I want to close with a word of encouragement. We have a Father God who is able to and who delights to give us what we need. Sort of echoing what Jim read at the end of his children's sermon. But here goes. This is from Luke 12 again. Same chapter that our reading is in. Jesus said this. But if God, who clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, do not seek what you are to eat and what are you to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek first his kingdom. And these things, the things you need, the things to fill your practical needs and concerns, the things you need to fulfill your sense of worth or security. All these things will be added to you because we have a God that we can know through Christ who knows what we need. So we don't have to covet more stuff now. We can trust God. We don't need to worry and amass possessions for security purposes alone. We can worship God in our time and talent and treasure more. We don't need to look to ourselves or to other things for security. We can look to Jesus because he is our all in all. So, Father, thank you for calling us to yourself through Christ as we are today. Thank you for your warning that there are things that can deaden and numb our hearts to you and distract us from you. Thank you, Lord, that you desire to have a relationship with us, and that in itself is what really matters to you. We give you thanks for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.